If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with us, please, to the book of James. James, chapter number 1. We began this morning trying to bring some truths out of this chapter and God's precious Word, and we'd like to continue that thought tonight. James, chapter 1, and verse number 16, the Bible said, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the good singing tonight, the wonderful fellowship. And Lord, we thank you tonight for your people. Lord, we thank you for a place to meet, Lord. The weather's beautiful right now. We could meet outside. We could meet anywhere. But many times throughout the year, Lord, we have the privilege to meet in this building when it wouldn't be great to meet outside. And we're grateful for the facility that you've blessed us with. Grateful, Lord, for the friendships that you've blessed us with. Grateful, God, for the faith that you've blessed us with, our Lord. Lord, I know that this evening you want to speak to our hearts, and we pray that you'll do so. I pray, Lord, if there's someone among us that doesn't know you, that this might be the hour, Lord, that they would come to know the Lord Jesus in the free pardon of sin. And Lord, we pray you'd bless us as we sit together around your table this evening. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. The Word of God tells us here, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." I know there's at least several folk that were not in the service this morning, and I'd like to recap just a little bit where we began this morning. The word "err" here, at first glance, just looks like perhaps making an error, and but when I looked up the word, it comes from a Greek word that means to cause to roam. And so what we're looking at tonight in the chapter, "Do not err, my beloved brethren," are some reasons that God's people will roam or drift or wander away from God. And what the Lord taught me in the chapter was it's not so much that Satan wants us in his camp, but he wants us out of God's camp. He doesn't want us fellowshipping with the Lord. He doesn't want us enjoying the presence of the Lord and the power of the Lord. It kind of goes along, Brother Steve, with the lesson on the Holy Spirit. When a man gets saved, he's always present in that man's life. But whether or not he's powerful in that man's life depends on that man's willingness to obey him and walk with him. I preached a message one time years ago entitled "The Holy Spirit, Resident or President." Does he just reside in your life, or does he preside in your life? And we know that it is the will of God that he preside in our life. And so this morning we said, "Do not err when it comes to being a servant." One of the things that God wants us to do is to be a servant. James was a servant of God. Not a greater title in the whole world, as far as I'm concerned, than to be a servant of God. And we don't need to err. We don't need to wander away. And certainly a servant's heart, a servant's spirit, a place to work in the vineyard of our Lord is a blessing. And then, "Do not err when it comes to the burden of sin." We talked about temptation and how that way back yonder in the Garden of Eden, that the devil began trying to separate man from his maker. And God didn't want to, Satan didn't want us to fellowship with the God that loved us and has gone to prepare a place for us. Now tonight, I have two more things, two more areas that I want to enter into tonight in your hearing. I pray that it'll be a blessing. And it'd be a good time maybe for me to say this. If you'd like to hear this morning's message in its entirety, there's two things you could do. You could see Brother Richard, and he'll get you a CD. I said that right, didn't I, Brother? A CD of the service. Or you could get on the internet, BibleWayOnline.com, and no.net, isn't it, Brother Brother Henry? BibleWayOnline.net, and you could get it there as well. But I want to go on now in the message tonight, and trust it'll be a blessing to you. Let's read on down here tonight. The Bible said, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." We went up to verse 16 this morning. Let's pick up in verse number 17. The Word of God said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." The next thing I'd like to bring out in the message tonight is, do not err when it comes to the blessings of the Savior. I think sometimes if we're not careful that Satan would like to come in and would like to cause us to forget where the blessings come from. Maybe we have a good job. Maybe we have a good career. Maybe we have a good retirement. And I just want to say there's nothing wrong with any of those things. We ought to thank God if we have a good job. Thank God if we have a good career. But I tell you, that should never cause us to forget where every good and perfect gift comes from. I'll tell you something tonight that a good job can't buy. That's a breath of fresh air. You can't, the best job in the world can't give you good lungs to breathe God's air with. Can't give you a set of eyeballs to see with, a set of ears to hear with, a tongue to taste with, legs to walk on. Those things can't be bought with money. And the Word of God said every good and perfect gift. I know what it is to walk in fellowship with God. Many men, I guess, wouldn't say what I'm about to say. But I know what it is to walk out of fellowship with God. And I'll tell you, when you walk in fellowship with God and you look down at a peanut butter cracker, it looks different than if you're walking out of fellowship with God and you look down at a peanut butter cracker. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" I tell you, if you're in fellowship with God, you'll realize right quick how many youngins there are in this world that would love to have a clean peanut butter cracker and a half a glass of good cold milk to go with it. Don't even have a drink of cold water. Amen. The Bible said every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. Everything that we have that's good, this flesh didn't have nothing to do with it. This world didn't have nothing to do with it. And that old devil didn't have nothing to do with it. It was our Father in heaven that gave it to us. And I believe that God is saying, don't err. Don't wander away. I see three things here I want to share with you tonight. I'm about to get full. I tell you, when I think about his blessings tonight, Brother Larry, I get filled, amen, and think about what he's done for me, what he's doing for me. And hallelujah, it ain't over. He's going to do something else for me one day. He's going to take me out of this old body and give me a new body and take me home to the city of God. I see three things here I want to look at quickly. I see the fountain of every blessing. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." It all flows from the same fountain. The songwriter said, "Come thou fount of every blessing." I tell you, every blessing that we have tonight, our Lord, our Savior, our Heavenly Father is responsible for it tonight. I've told people through the years, if there's anything good about me, then God's to get the glory. But everything that's bad about me, put that on my account. Amen. He didn't have anything to do with that. But everything that's good that we have, it comes from the fountain. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I see the fountain of every blessing in this text, but I see the faithfulness of the blesser in this text. This is something I think God's people are prone to forget. It's the same God that dried up the Red Sea, that gave you and I something to eat today, gave us clothes on our back. The same God, amen, that
my friend, in the Bible, spoke to the prophets. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Speaks to you and I today. The same God, beloved, listen, that caused David to pen down the words, I once was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor God's seed of begging bread. I tell you, it might get bad, but God's children, God will take care of them. I believe that with all of my heart. I've talked to my grandfather, different ones in our family that went through the Great Depression. And my grandfather has story after story after story of how God met their needs. How that my grandmother one time told him, I just cooked the last piece of meat. We don't have any meat for breakfast in the morning. But you know what God did? God put meat behind the seat. Amen. That's what God can do. Amen. Cause a man to drop a big country ham. Glory to God, that'll make you hungry. That'll make Brother Jack shout. Amen. A big old country ham behind the seat of his car. And he come up on the porch rejoicing. Amen. That God had come through again. Amen. I tell you, if we're not careful, listen, I didn't say you. I said we. If we're not careful, we get so used to. Listen, I don't know how your refrigerator is, but ours normally has too much in it. Is anybody home? You got to dig through it, Brother Ralph, to find what you need. Amen. My wife will say, it's in there. I say, I know, but it'd take FBI to find it. Amen. She gets aggravated with me. Our refrigerator's not empty. Our cupboards are not empty. They're full. And if we're not careful, beloved, just because we're not living from day to day, so to speak, getting our needs met, we will forget where the blessings come from. And there's a danger if we do that. We'll wander. And I tell you what, old Slewfoot would like nothing more than for you and I to put more confidence in a 401k than we do the God of heaven. We're just liable to wake up one morning and find out, listen to me carefully right here, to find out that somebody's decided it's coming, that it's going to be a one world order, that it's going to be a one world currency, and what you've got won't be worth pennies on the dollar. But I tell you what I have in my heart, the value will not change. Amen. I have a Savior that loves me and a Savior that will provide my every need. We see the fountain of every blessing. We see the faithfulness of the blesser. The Bible said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You think about the God that made it possible for that woman to just keep dipping out of that barrel of meal. You say, can God do that? It filled up all those cruses of oil. Enough to pay the debt and enough to live on. That's the God I serve. The God that spoke to a raven and said, I've got a man down there that needs something to eat, and you're going to carry it to him. You say, preacher, surely you don't believe those stories. Honey, I'm happy. Leave me alone. I believe every one of them. Just like the Bible said, he's a God of creation. Amen. He could tell the fish to go away while the professionals were fishing and then tell them to come back the next morning and tell them where to throw the net. Tell them to get in the net. And so that the net would, my friend, be full after the pros had fished all night. Amen. That's the God that I serve. Do not err when it comes to the blessings of the Savior. You know, I heard a story one time about this man that was an unbeliever. He was an infidel. He was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. And a widow woman. And she got up against it, so to speak. And he went and bought her some groceries, set them on the porch, knocked on the door, and ran around to the side of the house. And I tell you, when she opened the door and she saw the groceries, she began to shout, oh God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the groceries. Thank you, Lord. He stepped around the corner like he was somebody, said, God didn't provide the groceries. I did. She just kept a shouting. Thank you, Lord, for the groceries, and thank you for letting the devil carry them to me. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. That's the God we serve. Amen. I tell you, he just thought he was going to do something. Amen. But the God we serve will provide for his own. The fountain of every blessing, the faithfulness of the blesser, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then the forgiveness of the blessed. Look at verse number 18. The Bible said, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. I about shouted when I heard what Brother Brian was teaching on this morning in Sunday school about the word of God, amen, and the importance of the word of God. We're going to get to that a little bit more. But the Bible said right here, there's forgiveness because we've been begotten. We've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. That's this old Bible. Amen. The devil can't do anything with that. We see the forgiveness. So don't err when it comes to the blessings of the Savior. The last thing in the message I want to get to is do not err when it comes to the benefit of the Scripture. Beloved, listen. Listen to me carefully right here. I don't believe we can put too much emphasis on the importance of the Word of God in the life of the believer. Someone said it like this. Either the Bible will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from the Bible. You say, well, preacher, I don't read my Bible, but I'm not involved in any great sin. That's one of the things that's wrong with us. The Bible said to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it's sin. That's what the Word of God said. You see, we think if we're not drinking or if we're not doping or if we're not out here running around with another woman or something like that, we're not sinning. But when we know to do the right thing and we don't do it, God said it's sin. Amen? It's sin. And so the Word of God will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from the Word of God. Let's look at the rest of the passage here. The Bible said in verse number 19, or 18, of his own will begot us by the word of truth. In verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. How many knows that naturally speaking, we're built backwards of that? We're built just exactly backwards of that, naturally speaking. We're swift to speak, slow to hear, and swift to get mad. That's how we are without Christ. Amen. We're built just exactly backwards of that. And the Bible said, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any of men among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's look at this for just a few minutes tonight. Do not err when it comes to the benefit of the Scripture. You say, preacher, what benefit is it? First of all, it benefits the church. You see, when he said, do not err, he continued with this, my beloved brethren. It's the brethren, the Word of God. It benefits the church of the living God. It will keep us, beloved, from being drawn away of our own lust. His will be more important than our will in our life. By the way, you will find his will in his word. Amen. One thing I wanted to say this morning, Brother Steve, in the class, and it slipped my mind, but Brother Steve was doing great teaching on the Holy Spirit and his ministry in the life of the believer. But one of the things that some people have never figured out is the Holy Spirit will never lead an individual contrary to God's word. It will always, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit has come, he will lead you into all truth. So if the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us into truth, then we know where the unholy spirit's trying to lead us. That's away from truth. Amen. Away from the truth of God's word. And so we see it benefits the church, my beloved brethren. It benefits our ears. It's swift to hear. When we're in the Bible, obeying the Bible has preeminence in our life. then we want to live our lives by the Bible. It'll cause us to listen. It'll cause us to be swift to hear. It'll cause us to control our tongue, to be slow to speak. That's a benefit of the Word of God. I don't know. I challenge you. Examine your own heart. Examine a day, maybe when you said something you shouldn't have said or acted some way you shouldn't have acted. And ask yourself this question. Had you been in God's Word? Ask yourself that question. Or were you too busy that morning? Were you too busy that day? You say, preacher, surely it's not that simple. You check it out and see. Next time you fly off on one end or the other, just check it out and see. Amen. Our beloved friend, I believe if we're in God's Word, there's a peace that passes all understanding, and we're not near as apt to get tore out of the frame of what's going on down here in this world. It benefits our ears. It benefits our tongue. Look at verse 26, also our tongue. If any of you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. I believe that tongue we talked about, I think, a little bit Wednesday night. It is an unruly evil. Thank God there's one that can rule it. And thank God there's a Bible that can help us, amen, to control our tongue. And then not only does it benefit the church, it benefits our ears, it benefits our tongue, but it benefits our disposition. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Slow to wrath. Not easily angered. Amen. Not easily wanting revenge. Oh, beloved friend, wouldn't it be good in political circles these days if somebody was slow to wrath? If somebody was slow to speak? Are you listening to me tonight? I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen. Somebody said this, when you're slinging mud, just don't ever forget you're the one losing ground. Say amen right there. You're slinging mud. You're losing ground. Isn't that sad that you come to where we are in a country to where all you got's mud slinging? Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me carefully. Carefully right here. If you're not careful, God could, listen, the devil could get enough of us to wander away from God, to err concerning service, concerning sin. Listen to me carefully. You know what we could have? We could have a bunch of mud slinging going on in the church. Yeah. You say, preacher, there ain't no mud in your life. Where have you been? Every one of us has got faults. Every one of us has got failures. I tell you, thank God, if we'll stay in this book, we'll want to magnify what's right, not what's wrong. You get enough people out of this book, out of sorts, honey, they'll be listening to the wrong things, saying the wrong things, mad at the wrong things. If we're not careful, instead of being mad at the flesh and mad at the devil, we'll get mad at one another. Help me tonight. That's what'll happen if we're not careful. Don't know about none of that going on. I believe from time to time, God just tries to help us along the way. Amen. Let's just not be that way, because we don't need to err when it comes to the benefit of the Scripture. It'll help us concerning our disposition. And then it'll benefit not only the church and our ears and our tongue and our disposition, but let me give you this lastly. Several things we want to cover right here. It'll benefit our souls. The Bible said here, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity, naughtiness. Verse 21, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. How many believes the Word of God will soothe the soul? The Word of God will benefit a man's soul. I tell you what's truth. I'm just being honest. If I didn't believe Jesus was coming, I believe I'd go crazy. Looking at what's going on in this world, I believe I would go nuts. I really do. But thank God we know that all of this is happening, because there's an announcement being made. The King is coming. The King is coming. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you or not, but it come to my mind. We'll get into this last thing about the benefit of our souls. But, you know, there was a great deliverer in Moses. You remember that? How many remembers that? Moses was a great deliverer. And They were, you know what they were doing before the deliverer came? They were killing babies. I mean, listen to me. How many knows that Jesus was a great deliverer? Jesus was born. What was they doing? Help me. He's killing babies. Honey, I tell you what I believe. I believe the deliverer's coming. We've set that issue aside as a nation just like it don't even matter anymore. But I believe God is saying the King is coming. The King is coming. He's going to deliver us from this God forsaken world that we live in that's forsook the God of heaven. Now listen, it'll benefit our souls. Let me give you several things quickly. Number one, it'll keep us from filthiness. In verse number 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. Let me just say this just quickly. This is something I learned years ago. It's not enough in the life of the believer to discard something that doesn't belong in the life. That must be replaced with something that does belong in our life. How many heard what I just said? You can't encourage children or to disregard videos or discard videos or to discard rock music or to discard rap music or to discard things that are ungodly and not encourage them to replace that. And I believe, listen, there's a truth there. We do need to lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, but then the word is receive. We do need to lay some, we need to reject some things in our lives as believers, but thank God we need to receive some things in our life as believers. Receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our soul. Jesus spoke one time about the man that all the bad was cast out, and his house was swept and garnished. And then there were seven more demons, worse than that first one, that came in. Beloved, listen, we're not made to operate empty. We're going to be full of something. We're either going to be full of God or full of this world or full of self. We're going to be filled with something. And so God wants us to be, listen, don't err. Don't wander away. What will help us with that? It'll benefit our souls. It'll keep us from filthiness. The second thing, if you look at verse 27 also, he said, keep himself unspotted from the world. Oh, beloved friend, that's a full-time job, isn't it? To keep yourself unspotted from the world. Now, notice this, not only will it keep us from filthiness, the Word of God, as it benefits our soul, but it'll keep us from faking. What do you mean faking, preacher? Here's what I mean. Listen, I don't claim to know who they are, but I know that in America, in churches all across this land, there are people in the pulpit and people in the pew that are absolutely faking the Christian life. Amen? And beloved, by the way, let me just go ahead and say this. There's some people in politics that are absolutely faking the Christian life. There's more to being a Christian than standing up and saying, I'm a Christian. Most people equate that with being a Catholic. There's more to being a Christian than being a Catholic. Yeah, let's bring it home. There's more to being a Christian than being a Baptist. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. That means a man's been born again. That means a man's been to Calvary. That means a man's been convicted of the Holy Ghost. But he didn't just get convicted, he got converted. God changed his life when he saved him. Amen. It'll, my friend, help our soul. It'll keep us from filthiness, but it'll keep us from faking. You say, preacher, where'd you get that? The Bible said, be not doers of the word. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Then the Bible said, deceiving your own selves. Beloved, there's people deceiving themselves and deceiving others. This Bible has no place in their life. There's people in churches in America. I've heard people say things like this. I know what the Bible says, but. I'll tell you where that but's going to fall on its face. At the judgment seat of Christ. Beloved, Jesus ain't going to be listening. Well, I knew what the Bible said, but Grandma said, or Grandpa said, or even my preacher said, or my priest said, I say this, right, here's the final authority. If I say something and it don't line up with this book, I'm telling you tonight, you'd be wise to take the book.
Amen.
Take the book. The book. So it'll keep us from filthiness. It'll keep us from faking. But then it'll keep us from forgetting. You see, the Bible said here, verse 23, if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For behold, he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Listen to me. I don't believe we ought to dwell on our past. Listen to me carefully, but I don't believe we ought to forget it. Brother Rose, I don't believe we ought to forget where we were when he found us. I don't believe we ought to forget how we were drowning in sin. How we were going under. When he picked us up out of the muck and the mire and set our feet on the solid rock, established our going, put a new song in our heart. I don't believe we ought to forget that. We'll stay in that book. We won't. Let me tell you something about the Apostle Paul. You read after him. Brother John, just every now and again, he'd take you back to that Damascus road. He couldn't help it. He'd tell you what he was doing when he met Jesus. Let me tell you about the change that Jesus made in his life. I believe it'll keep us from forgetting, amen. If we'll just stay in the book, I don't believe we ought to gloat. I don't believe we ought to glory in what we were. But I don't believe we ought to forget what we were.
Amen.
By the way, doesn't matter what we were. We were raised on a church pew. Never had a cigarette in our life. Never touched a drop of liquor in our life. Never looked at a dirty picture in our life. God saved us from the same hell as he did anybody else. Yes, he did. Oh, beloved friend, the benefit of our souls, the Word of God, will keep us from filthiness. It'll keep us from faking. It'll keep us from forgetting. And then, well, you remember this. I believe it was... I'm trying to remember the brother's name now. Oh, goodness. Brother Bagwell. He taught us out of 1 Peter. Do you remember that when he was here? And 1 Peter said this. It said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now that's beyond me. That's a verse right there, Brother Steve, that's beyond me. That a man can get so far away from God, err so bad, that he could forget that he was purged from his old sin. Beloved, that's what the Bible said. Let's look at the other side. It'll keep us from filthiness, keep us from faking, keep us from forgetting. But I want to give you this. It'll keep us faithful. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, notice these words, and continueth therein. I'm glad that I thought about Brother Fred and Sister Sue today. Brother Ralph, I'm glad that they didn't just start right. They continued right in the same path. And thereby finished right. The Apostle Paul didn't just start right, but he continued on and on in spite of the hindrances, in spite of the obstacles. And he was able to finish right for the glory of God Almighty. Brother Larry, I think about Zay Thomas. Think about little Alex. They weren't there when Papa started. But if Jesus don't come, they'll be there when Papa finishes.
Yeah.
How important it is that we walk with God, that we don't let anything cause us to err, to be separated, to wander away from the God that we love, the God that we serve. To keep us faithful, continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Bible said back over in 2 Peter 1:5, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe this book will help us to remain faithful in the things of God. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err, my beloved brethren. When I look at this chapter, I may go on and look at some more in the book and see what else is going on in the book of James. But in this chapter, there's one thing for sure. There's a God that's telling us not to err. And there's an enemy that's doing everything in his power to cause us to err, cause us to leave, cause us to wander, cause us to go away from truth. By the way, that's what apostasy is. Apostasy is not ignorance. Apostasy is seeing the truth is revealed, and turning your back on the truth and going away from it. Beloved, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. I don't know about you tonight, but I think about the importance of the Bible, and it's humbling. Amen. One man was talking about ignorance of the Bible, and he penned down this story. There was a new minister that was asked to teach a boys' class in the absence of the regular teacher. He decided to see what the boys knew. So he asked them a question. He said, "Who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" All the boys denied having done it. And the preacher was appalled by their ignorance. At the next deacon's meeting, he told about the experience. He said, "Not one of them boys knew who knocked down the walls of Jericho." The group was silent till finally one of the seasoned veteran deacons, he had dealt with a lot of disputes, he spoke up and he said, "Preacher, this appears to be bothering you a lot." But he said, "I've known these boys since they were real young, and they're good boys. If they said they didn't know, I believe them. Let's just take some money out of the repair and maintenance fund, fix the walls, and let it go at that." That's about where we are sometimes, isn't it? Amen. Oh, beloved friend, to know the Bible, to love the Bible. I'll tell you what, the more I know about God's Word, the more I realize I don't know. I just want to keep digging. I feel like sometimes that I'm just kind of scratching at the surface. But I tell you what, I just want to keep calling till he comes, till he takes me home. I just want to see what he's got. Don't you? It'll help us along the way. An unknown writer said this. He said, "This book, the Bible, is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. Its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven open, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject. Our good is its design. The glory of God is its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, and to the resurrected life in Christ. Yes, to glory itself for all eternity. That's the Bible that we have. Miss Eve, was it Raymond Barber, honey, that we heard in a couple of different Rock of Ages conferences? I can't remember exactly how he said it. But he would get up to preach, and he used the same few lines every time when he got up to preach. He would say, this Bible is the mind of God. Let's get in the Bible tonight and see what God's thinking about. Think about that tonight. If you want to know what God thinks, right here it is. The precious Word of God. I'm just glad you come tonight. I go back to a Sunday school lesson Brother John had a while back. Let me ask this in light of that Sunday school lesson. How many could do a little better concerning your Bible? Amen. Doesn't matter where we are. I think we could all do a little better concerning our Bible. I was listening to Brother Brian teach, and he was talking about how they found the book of the law. Remember that this morning in Sunday school? They found it. I think that was it, the book of Ezra? Or was it Ezra that found it in the book of Nehemiah? Anyway, it's there. But I told my wife, there was a message welled up inside of me. Maybe you'll hear it from before too long. I might preach on lost and found. I'm not going to give anything else away. I don't give one point away. Amen. Lost and found. We used to have that in school, didn't you? Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. I trust you're saved tonight, and I trust if you're not, you won't wait too long. He's coming. If he comes and you're unprepared, you've heard the truth, beloved friend, you'll be in trouble. Don't wait too long. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Children of God, what's the message been about today? Do not err, my beloved brethren. Say that with me, would you? Do not err, my beloved brethren. God bless you. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to stand, the privilege to speak the words of truth. Thank you, Father, for James, the servant of God, because he was faithful. Lord, you were able to use him to pen down these words that have helped us so much this Lord's day. I pray, Lord, that you would help us go on down the road another mile, realizing, Lord, it might be the last mile. Help us to be faithful to the end. In Jesus' name.